We're going to take a risk right out of the gate tonight, okay? I need you to listen to my instructions before I ask this next question. Don't point at anyone or shout at any names, all right? That would be a bad start to the night, but have you ever met somebody who professed to be a follower of Jesus that was one of the grumpiest people you ever met? It's bad that you're laughing because it means you have, right? And even worse than somebody who says, I'm following Jesus, would be somebody who says, I believe in scriptural holiness and I'm following Jesus. Like if we look at scripture, the whole witness of scripture would suggest to us, would make it really clear that grumpiness is the opposite of what it would be to follow Jesus, and all the more true of those who seek to live our lives under this banner of holiness. I confess it's a little bit of a pet peeve for me because when I read the Bible, it seems to me that followers of Jesus should be the most joyful people on the planet. And even more, holiness people should be the most joyful of the joyful people on the planet, which would mean that Camp Syker, as a holiness camp meeting, should be a place and a people overflowing with joy. Now, none of those grumpy Christian people come to Camp Syker, and I can tell you for me, one of the reasons I love coming here, one of the things I anticipate, I love serving alongside Ron Brindle. He just testified, like, it's been a hard year. I haven't heard the story behind that yet. But does this guy not strike you as somebody that is exuding the joy of Christ? I love that about Ron. That's why I can't wait to see Linda Daft. There are so many people here. I thought of this when I saw my niece Ella today. Like, she's somebody that overflows with joy, right? And we see that here. And one of my hopes for us during these days is that we might discover how holiness and joyfulness really cannot be separated. Now, I mentioned Matt Brooks had to leave suddenly this afternoon, so I found out about 4 hours ago that I was going to preach tonight. But don't feel bad for me. I'm excited about the opportunity, but I will tell you, this is how God works sometimes. The minute he texted me to say, could you cover, I knew exactly in that moment that I would be preaching from Isaiah chapter 35, and I knew immediately that the theme of what I would share with you tonight is that the highway of holiness is a way of living that leads to being overtaken by joy. Overtaken by joy. Now, God has been kind of working on this theme with me, and literally, I went to my cottage, I flipped back through my journal, and there are all of these scriptures and quotes from books and lyrics from songs that God's just, I didn't know I was going to be preaching it tonight, but it just seemed that God has just been speaking over me this theme of joy over and over again, and then the connection between joy and holiness. I don't know, it would be very interesting to know, when you read this sign up here, Holiness Unto the Lord, what are the first things that come to mind for you? But I suppose one of my hopes is, tonight might influence a little bit to have this really close association that holiness unto the Lord also means joyfulness unto the Lord, that these two things fit together like hand in glove. So before we get into scripture and a little bit of a definition, I thought I'd just get you thinking. Audience participation time. Are we all awake still? I haven't been preaching long enough to put you asleep. So, all right. When you think of the opposite of joy, the opposite of joy, if you got a big continuum, the opposite of joy is over there, and this is overflowing with joy, what would be some words that come to mind when you think of the opposite of joy? Shout them out. Wow, this is harder when I'm hard of hearing. You got to shout really loud. My family was anger, all right? Sorrow, yeah? Fear, hopeless? Anxious, yeah. Ungrateful, oh, I like that, yeah. Bitterness, doubtful, okay? Yeah. I missed that one. Sarcasm, okay? All right. Despair, discouragement. We could go on and on, all right? Now let's flip to the other end of the continuum. Overflowing with joy, what would that look? What are some other synonyms that come to mind when you think of joy? Family, I like that.
Happiness.
Music, nice. Gary's supposed to say his wife, because your name is Joy, right? Sorry, somebody else? This is hard, what did he say? Contentment, thank you. I need like amplification if I'm gonna ask this again. Somebody said something down here. Strength, okay, yeah. So, do this for me. Try to locate yourself, joyless living way over there, maybe in the middle is somewhere like I'm joy challenged, I'm joy deficient, my joy is depleted, and then over there is overflowing with joy. Just kind of a personal self-reflection exercise. Where would you put yourself on this continuum of joyless to overtaken by joy? Now the question for the night is, would anyone like to move a little bit that way? Anybody? So we're going to dive into this scripture in Isaiah 35 that will point us in the direction of what that might look like for us. So I think I'll go ahead and read all of Isaiah 35. It's just 10 verses if you want to read with me. And in my Bible, this section is titled where is it here? Because I'm reading from a different Bible than when I put my notes in here. The Joy of the Redeemed. That's the NIV version because this is the NLT. So in the NIV, it's the Joy of the Redeemed is a section. Now, right before that, it doesn't sound very joyful, all right? There's been a lot of prophetic words against God's chosen people when they turn away from God. There's been a lot of woes. Well, that could be another word at that end of the continuum, right? Woe. And so now in Isaiah 35, we get this contrast. It's a prophetic word promising what happens when God redeems and restores his people. And it is a promise for God's chosen people, the nation of Israel, but it's also a prophetic word that points us all the way ahead to the ministry of Jesus and the offer of salvation that he gives us. And so, Isaiah 35, even the wilderness and desert will be glad in those days. The wasteland will rejoice and blossom with spring crocuses. Yes, there will be an abundance of flowers and singing and joy. The deserts will become as green as the mountains of Lebanon, as lovely as Mount Carmel or the plain of Sharon. Then the Lord will display his glory, the splendor of our God. With his news, strengthen those who have tired hands and encourage those who have weak knees. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. And when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the ears of the deaf. The lame will leap like a deer, and those who cannot speak will sing for joy. Springs will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams will water the wasteland. The parched ground will become a pool, and springs of water will satisfy the thirsty land. Marsh grass and reeds and rushes will flourish where desert jackals once lived, and a great road will go through that once deserted land. It will be called the Highway of Holiness. The road signs there on the Highway of Holiness, they say holiness unto the Lord this way. That's what they say. So, evil-minded people will never travel on it. It will be only for those who walk in God's ways. Fools will never walk there. Lions will not lurk along its course, nor any other ferocious beast. There will be no other dangers. Only the redeemed will walk on it. Those who have been ransomed by the Lord will return. They will enter Jerusalem singing, crowned with everlasting joy. Sorrow and mourning will disappear, and they will be filled with joy and gladness. So we get this picture of the highway of holiness, and in this passage, joy is just everywhere. Joy, gladness, rejoicing. I love the NIV version that really grabbed me. This was weeks ago reading this passage. The last verse says, gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. So how do we move from joyless, or maybe joy deficient, to overflowing joy? I want to share with you a bit about how the highway of holiness, it is this path that leads us to being overtaken by joy. Now, before we talk a little bit more about it, we need to be clear when we talk about joy. Some of the synonyms we used help us kind of get the sense of what we're talking about, but we know joy is not just based on outward circumstances. It's not just a fleeting emotion of happiness. I like the way John Piper defines it. He says, joy is a good feeling in the soul produced by the Holy Spirit. Here's my working definition for joy. It is a deep feeling of delight and satisfaction that overflows in a Jesus-centered life, and it's consistent, and it's growing, which means it's not going up and down with the changing of our circumstances. And so this passage helps us understand that our experience of joy doesn't have to wait until all of our circumstances are great. And so two big ideas really tonight. That the highway of holiness leads us to joy through the wilderness. Let's just maybe take a snapshot of the room right now. Would any of us say that we've spent some of this past year, or maybe we're there right now, in a season that feels like wilderness? Anybody? Just look around. Like, it's okay to name that. Some of us feel like it's been nonstop, overwhelming. Some of you, maybe you're in a season of joyfulness and gratitude, and it's been a really positive year, and you have lots to give thanks for. This passage is such good news because right out of the gate, there's this promise that God works in the wilderness, the wasteland places, the parched land of the desert. Those are the places where God, by the power of His Spirit, by the good news of the gospel revealed in Jesus, that God intervenes right in the midst of the worst wilderness seasons of our lives and can bring redemption and restoration, so that the very place of our pain or disappointment, the very place of our dryness, all of those things that you might associate with the wilderness, that becomes the place that God transforms to make it a place of joy. Even a cursory reading of the Old Testament would confirm, I just came across this one commentator who said, the wilderness is inextricably interwoven with the spiritual history and discipline of Israel. We could say that's no less true for those of us living under the new covenant and following after Jesus wholeheartedly, that we too are familiar with wilderness seasons and wilderness places. it's encouraging that the writers of the New Testament come on the scene and they rehash the same theme over and over again, that God can bring joy in and through the wilderness seasons of our lives. We might think of James, right? So James 1, consider it pure joy when we face trials of many kinds. We've testified, a lot of us are familiar with trials of many kinds. And the experience of joy on this way of holiness is not mutually exclusive with trials of many kinds, but in fact, God uses them to test our faith, to cultivate perseverance, to cultivate character, to lead us on a way that leads to being overtaken by joy. Jesus' words in the Gospel of John, he says it this way, that you will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. Your grief will turn to joy. I've been coming to this place my entire life, and I know that some of us come carrying really heavy burdens. I mean, I've been here a couple of days, and I've already had conversations with friends that are right there. Wasteland, barren, difficult, painful places. And so hear this good news. God does not offer us an easy button that will make all of the hard disappear. But you don't have to wait for your circumstances to all change to experience the joy of the Lord. That exactly where you are right now, as barren and parched as it may be, it can be the birthplace of joy as we seek to follow Jesus and to trust him wholeheartedly. We'll come back around at the end of how do we really get on this highway of holiness, but, well, let me share. Again, God just kind of dropped all of this, so I just had to kind of write it out for you this evening. This morning, just a song just jumped out at me. And in my journal, I wrote down the lyrics this morning, and so I just copied them to share with you. Anybody love Josiah Queen like I do? Yeah, a lot of our young people do. I'm not young, but my children are, so they help me listen to cool music. Josiah Queen has this great song called Can't Steal My Joy. Listen to these lyrics. If you're in a wilderness place, these lyrics are for you. He says, in the valley of the shadow, I got a feeling it's the season that'll make me grow. I'm still breathing. I got praise in my lungs and a choir in my soul. Can't steal my joy. What the world cannot give, no, it can't take away. Sorrow may come, but it, hold on, sorrow may come, but it can't steal my joy. In the high highs, in the low lows, which if you use sweet and low, that'll remind you of the high highs and the low lows. In the high highs and low lows, you will fill my cup, you fill it up until it overflows. That sounds like being overtaken by joy. I remember I'll keep holding on to hope because you're the king of rolling stones. I love that lyric. The king of rolling stones can't steal my joy. Could you be open tonight that right where you are could be the birthplace of joy? There's another theme, and there's a lot that we won't hit on Isaiah 35, but another big theme. The highway of holiness leads to joy through the wilderness. The highway of holiness leads to joy through our weakness. Right in the middle, there's all this talk about the lame leaking like deer and the blind seeing. I don't know if it says it actually in here. The lame will leak for joy. The ears of the deaf will be unplugged. The blind will see, right? And so this joy coming to us in our weakness when God's power meets us there, Paul has a lot to say about that in the New Testament, right? That God, in fact, is the promise of healing here, and the same God brings physical healing today. We're going to save that emphasis for another night. But I just want to lean into the good news that in our weakness, spiritually speaking, that's also where we experience the joy of God becoming a reality in our lives. When I knew, like I said, Isaiah 35 is what I was going to preach on tonight, and so I went back to my cottage. I was looking through some of the notes, and I literally chuckled to myself out loud. Nobody was there, so it wasn't too weird, but because as I was reading, I came across this note that there's a verse 3 in Isaiah 35 gets picked up and quoted in Hebrews chapter 12 in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 12. And I chuckled because Hebrews 12 has been one of those, you have one of those scriptures sometimes that God just keeps bringing you back there over and over and over again. That's been Hebrews 12 for me for about 3 to 5 years. And so I'm like, oh, I can preach Isaiah 35 and Hebrews 12. Let's jump in there. And so look at Hebrews chapter 12 with me and see how it might give us some perspective about how God meets us in our spiritual weakness. Maybe just a quick moment of confession. Did anybody show up at camp this year and you have not yet reached the place where you never ever sin or struggle with temptation? Anybody? Just not you? Okay. All right, good. I was going to let you come up and preach if somebody raised your hand. So we believe that God is growing us, but we don't escape the opportunity that we could fall into sin. And we're all over the map in terms of our spiritual journey. Some of us are brand new to following Jesus, or maybe this week is going to be the time when you choose to follow Jesus. And so when we come up against our spiritual weakness, what is the good news? How do we get out from under the weight of the power of sin in our lives? So Hebrews 12, 1-3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This throw off everything that hinders and run. I have a very vivid memory when I was sitting in the youth section right here, and I will never forget this. I'm not sure if it was the result of somebody throwing off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, but it looked like joy in my memory. Anybody here the day, I was a teenager, so this is a few decades ago, right in the middle of service, some guy got moved by the Holy Spirit and was overtaken by joy, started at the back over here and started running down, waving his hands, hooting and hollering, came down the front, circled the altar and went back that way, and everybody's going, what's going on here? I don't know if that was an overflow of joy thing, and at the time I thought, that is getting really weird around here. I'm just being honest. But you get a little older and you reflect, the longer you follow Jesus, and I'm not trying to prompt anybody to run laps and hoot and holler, just to be clear, but sometimes when you experience freedom from Jesus, freedom in Jesus from sin in our lives, it'll overflow in ways that maybe seem weird or surprising a little bit. In this passage, since Isaiah 35 been in my head, that phrase in Scripture, that the joy of the Lord is your strength, it's in Nehemiah chapter 8, the joy of the Lord is your strength, paired with these other passages, I've just been thinking about how is it that we experience freedom from the power of sin in our lives. So if you're new to Camp Syker, you'll hear this phrase a lot, that one of the things we mean about scriptural holiness is that we believe that God does not just save us from the guilt of our sin, so we pray a prayer, and I know that if I die, I'm going to go to heaven, but we believe that foundational to the message of the gospel is that God frees us from the power of sin, so that I don't have to keep being trapped doing the same sins over and over again and confessing again and again and then asking God to forgive me over and over again. But actually, God sets us free from that. I've been thinking about how does that freedom come? And I will just tell you, it does not come from my determined effort to strive after it. It doesn't come from dutiful obedience to try to do the right thing. I've been thinking a lot about how this passage frames it. We fix our eyes on Jesus. And when we have such a compelling vision of the beauty and holiness of Jesus, his love for us, his sacrifice for us on a cross, that his joy, it says in the passage, for the joy set before him, right? When we have this vision of Jesus fixing our eyes on, his joy becomes our joy. And that joy gives us strength and power to overcome the pull of sin and temptation in our lives. Came across, this is another quote straight out of my journal from recent weeks, it's Thomas Aquinas, says that one deprived of joy goes over to carnal pleasures. Think about that for a minute. And so the reason we struggle with sin is not necessarily because, definitely not because we want to, not because we lack a desire to overcome sin or to be free from it, but one of the primary reasons we struggle with sin, we give ourselves over to those fleshly carnal desires, is that we're deficient in joy. We don't have a clear enough vision of Jesus that causes joy to overflow, that gives us power and strength to walk on this road of holiness. So, if the way to get from joyless or joy deprived or joy struggling, joy challenged to overtaken by joy, if it's the road of holiness, the way of holiness that moves us in that direction, I want to look at really both Isaiah 35 and Hebrews 12. How do we travel on that road? How do we get on that road? And from the Isaiah 35 passage, I would just say that it really hinges on our willingness to trust that God could birth joy out of our wilderness. Could we invite God to fuel our imagination that out of the hard season we might find ourselves in, that joy could be the fruit of that? Let's do this just to encourage one another, because some of you are not in the wilderness now, but you've been there, done that. How many of you would say that your experience as you've been following Jesus, that how many of you would testify that you came out on the other season, on the other side of a season of wilderness, closer to Jesus and more joyful? How many of you would just kind of look around, right? Could we trust that God could birth joy out of the heart? Could we trust that God could birth joy out of our spiritual weakness, out of our struggle with sin, that our struggle with sin could actually point us toward Jesus in a way that leads us in the direction of freedom? And so let's get really practical. A few preliminary questions before I get really practical. What if we determined on night one of Camp Syker this year, what if we determined to say, Jesus, I want to be overtaken by joy. I want to travel on this way of holiness so that joy is not fleeting or occasional or maybe just this kind of minor bubbling up in our lives that every once in a while I feel a moment of joy. But what if we said, God, would you give us this gift during these days to be overtaken by joy? Personally. But then what if we said, God, pour out your Spirit and work in us in a way that Camp Syker could become a community that is overtaken by joy. The freedom of living in the power of God's Spirit. Even walking through the wilderness, that God would there birth joy that overflows in our lives. And then I know it's not one, but what if some of us went home and because of the work God did in us during these days, what if our homes could be places that are overflowing with joy? Anybody have a school or a workplace that could use some more overflowing joy, right? What if you could be the agent to take that experience of God's power and love and grace, that because you are on this road to holiness, that joy travels with you. Joy overflows from you onto the people around you and kind of splashes around. Now, don't respond to this next question, but some of you might come from churches with some of those grumpy Christians I mentioned. I'm sure it's not the case, but if you do, you could take this back, right? And be part of the catalyst for a community of faith being overtaken by the joy of the Lord. And so, practically speaking, we don't get joy by pursuing joy. The Hebrews passage says it real clearly, right? Fix your eyes on Jesus. The joy that we long for cannot be manufactured. It cannot be acquired. It is a gift that we receive from Jesus, who is our source of joy. Paul talks about it in Galatians 5 as the fruit of the Spirit. It's something that God has to do in us and through us. It overflows. We receive it as a gift. And so if you want more joy and you find yourself stuck over there, don't grasp for joy. Fix your eyes on Jesus. I love what Ron shared, right? Like, I'm going to be drawing closer to Jesus during these days. Not our idea, not our agenda, what will get us there. I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. And as we fix our eyes on him, we find this inside-out compulsion then to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Now, I know it's night one and it's a little bit early to be hitting really hard on sin, but sin will never lead you to joy. God wants you to live in the freedom of holiness, which means freedom from sin. And so, if we're hanging out over here, it is not always a one-to-one correlation, but one of the surefire things that will keep us over here is lots of distractions and the sin that so easily entangles. And so if you want more joy, then a big part of that journey is going to be stripping off some things. Trusting that what God wants for you is better than anything that the world could offer. And so it's going to be about releasing and letting go anything that would hinder you from walking in the freedom of God's Spirit. You could start that tonight. You could start taking some things off, some things that are entangling. You could start getting honest before God. And again, some of us, like, sign me up, I want joy. But that won't happen. It can't happen while I maintain this quiet addiction that nobody else knows about. Nobody sees what I'm looking at on my computer. We're like, give me joy, but I can't get over this, right? So if we want joy, we got to let go of that. If we want joy, we got to let go of the things that we're not willing to forgive, the grudges that we brought with us, the pain that we brought with us. If we want joy, we've got to be willing to let God change us from the inside out so we surrender pride, self-righteousness, which, by the way, usually goes along with grumpy Christians, right? Self-righteousness, the duties of religion sometimes. Strip off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. The passage I mentioned earlier about the joy of the Lord is my strength, it's in Nehemiah chapter 8, and there's this great word in Nehemiah 8 after the rebuilding of the wall, and they're celebrating, they're reading the book of the covenant, and it says, they read from the book of the law of God, this is Nehemiah 8:8, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. And then it says a little bit later, this day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you want to move from joyless to joyful overflowing, one of the ways you could get there is tonight, just decide. When God speaks, the answer is yes. You're going to hear a lot of great sermons. We're going to sing a lot of great songs. You're going to have a lot of great conversations. You could decide tonight, when God speaks, it's yes. Don't wait till you're moved by emotion. Don't wait till you hear the perfect sermon. When God speaks, I will submit to the authority of His Word and the authority of God's Spirit speaking into my life. And then here's the last thing. If I want to move on this highway to holiness in this direction, and this is probably the one where God has been speaking in my own life the most, and so I'm the least expert on this one. This highway to holiness, it always comes back to, am I willing to surrender complete control of my life? No exceptions, no negotiating, no longer coming to God with my agenda and asking Him to put a stamp of approval on it, no longer trying to manipulate or control other people or circumstances or to negotiate with God to get what I want, just, God, I trust You. I surrender to You in what You want to do. One of the gifts God gave me in recent weeks is a prayer by Father Thomas Keating. And it just kind of brought it to mind as he's been working with me on this surrender control. That my lack of joy is not caused by any other people or circumstances. My lack of joy is directly linked to my willingness to surrender control. The more I grasp for control, the more I move in this direction. The more I surrender control, the more I move in this direction. And so this prayer, the welcoming prayer, you can Google it. This I probably missed some words. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I welcome everything that comes to me in this day because I know it's for my healing. I welcome all people, feelings, emotions, conditions, situations, thoughts. I let go of my desire for power and control. I let go of my desire for affection, esteem, approval, and pleasure. I let go of my desire for security and for survival. I let go, this is a big one, I let go of my desire to change any person, situation, condition, or myself. I open myself to Your presence and Your love and Your action within me. I'm not there completely yet. That prayer's been helping me as a daily discipline of God. I know that my lack of joy is a me problem, not anybody else. And I want to get there. You know how I usually like to get there, right? I'm sure none of you do this. God, if you would just answer my prayers the way I want you to, when I want you to, and how I want you to, I live over there all the time, right? Anybody taking God up on that, right? And God keeps saying, you're not in charge of that. Surrender. Let go. Here's where I want to invite us to come to a close. I know there are some of us who you came here in a wilderness season and you stopped to listen after the wilderness part, and that's what you needed to hear. And maybe as we open the altar for prayer in a moment, maybe it's just coming to pray before God to say, God, I don't see it, I don't feel it, but I trust that you could bring joy out of this. I trust that you could even bring joy in it. Not someday by and by when all the circumstances are better, but right in the midst of wasteland, wilderness, parched ground, pain, disappointment. So that might be your response tonight. God, I want to believe, help my unbelief. But I wonder if some of us might be willing tonight. Not that there's a specific thing that hits you tonight necessarily, but just to get on our knees before God in prayer to say, yes. Night one, I'm settling this issue. If you speak, God, and I'll tell you he will, if you speak, when you speak, yes. Yes, I submit to the authority of your word and your spirit. I surrender control. I'm fixing my eyes on you, Jesus. I'm going to draw closer to you. Whatever I bring with me, whatever happens during these days, the answer is yes. I want to walk on this way of holiness. I know I got a long way to go, God, but I'm on this way to holiness. I'm not pursuing joy. I'm pursuing you, Jesus, and trusting that joy is the icing on the cake that comes when we choose to fix our eyes on him, to throw off everything that hinders, and to follow Jesus on this way of holiness. So there may be, as Ron's preparing to lead us on, there may be a specific word kind of resonates with you. But man, what if we all said yes to this way of holiness, yes to being overtaken by joy. Yes, God, to whatever you want. Yes to letting go of anything that would hinder. Make us a community overtaken by joy. And God, start with me. Start with me, I'm all in. Lord Jesus, would you speak by your spirit in this moment? God, I'm just struck by the impossibility of what you promise. Nearly everything in Isaiah 35 is miraculous. That lyric is ringing in my head, the king of rolling stones, raising the dead, rolling away stones and raising the dead. God, we want to declare our trust in a God who does the impossible. We want to come to you, God, declaring our surrender longing for more of you, that personally and collectively we're going to fix our eyes on you, Jesus. Whatever you want to do, we say yes. We say yes. We surrender all expectations. We surrender anything that would get in the way. We say yes to your conviction to respond in obedience and confession. We say yes to your small promptings and your big promptings. We say yes to you, Jesus. Make us a people that are overtaken by joy, we pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I invite you to respond. If you want to pray, join Ron as he leads us.